Matter of fact, that's wrong. All right, so today I want to talk about, what happens afterwards. So last week we had miracles happen. People came to the kingdom of God. People received Jesus Christ into their life. That's a miracle. So what happens after you have a miracle in your life? So I want to talk about that today. And let me show you this. I brought a picture. Actually, we were going to try to throw a picture up on the, what is that thing? Screen, all right, through that thing. What's that thing called? Thank you. Okay, it was supposed to be a picture. It's actually a picture of my family that I keep on my laptop, my screensaver. And we're working on a new thingamajig up here that we'll see and show pictures. So I'm on plan B on my pictures. But I brought in a picture. I'll show you in a second. Oh my gosh, how old am I? It's probably about 30 years ago. I brought in a picture and of my family 30 years ago. All right. So this was supposed to be up on the screen, but you can come and look at it later. So I brought this picture in, and it's really interesting. They say that when you get a picture, the first thing that everybody does is they look for themselves. We're so selfish, you know. Okay. So the first thing people do when they see a picture like this, they look at themselves. Oh, my. Not bad. Okay. The second thing people do, they say, is they look for the people that they have a close relationship with. All right, so I'm looking there. And the third thing they say that people do when they look at a picture like this is they usually don't like themselves. Okay, now this one, I'm 30 years younger, I actually look really good. Heather, where's my friend Heather? Where'd she go? Oh, she went downstairs. Okay. The other Heather. No, the Heather Messina. She's in the nursery. All right. So I was like, man, good. All right. But normally, especially if the picture that we were going to show up here, I'm 30 years older, and if you're not careful, this thing shows up. It's like, oh my gosh. All right. And that's usually what I see. All right. I see things that I don't like about myself. All right. Today, I want to talk about not what you see. I want to talk about what God's picture is of you. Today we're going to talk about what God's picture is of you, how God sees you, all right? Because God does not see you the way you see yourself. Gosh, geez. Okay, another one, just to get lost a little bit. But it's probably about 5-6 years ago, a bunch of us Cashmans went to the beach, and my daughters and nieces and nephews, They're all in their 20s back then, and they all wearing their bathing suits, okay? And we're sitting on the beach, and I'm sitting in my bathing suit. And one of those kids of mine posted that on Facebook. Are you kidding me? Next to you guys, I look like the beached whale. I was like, golly gee whiz. So I said, take that thing off. All right. So, you know, we don't like ourselves. But, you know, the wonderful thing... Yeah. So the wonderful thing is we're not going to talk about how you see yourself. We are going to talk about how God sees you since you received Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are sitting here and you already know this. You already know how God sees you since you received Jesus Christ. But you know, over in, where is it? Hebrews 12, 1, it says, don't let these truths that I've taught you slip away. Don't let these truths that I taught you slip away. So, you know, you may know this stuff, but it's really easy to have them slip away. So we're going to go over how God sees you after you receive Jesus Christ. How God pictures you after you leave Jesus Christ, you receive Jesus Christ. So y'all need one of these. Do you have one? If you don't, I've got ushers that'll run around. Okay, good. All right, put that over there. All right, so today we're going to talk actually about five ways or five things that God pictures you and sees you. And, you know, this picture over here, I have to look at it one more time. I have glasses on that are yay big. I mean, they are this big. And I'm like, oh, wow, I can't believe you wore that. And that dress, dear Jesus, Sherry wouldn't have let me out of the house. oh my gosh, that looks terrible. But you know, when God sees you and me after you receive Jesus Christ, he doesn't see any of that. He doesn't look at your body and he doesn't look at all this stuff. He actually sees you from a different perspective. God sees you from a whole different perspective, okay? And after you receive Jesus Christ, or the very moment that you receive Jesus Christ into your life, he is going to see you differently than the moment before. God is going to see you differently than the moment before. So I'm going to get rid of that picture. And this is what you have to start seeing, how God sees you. God sees Lucy so much different than, how long have you known the Lord Jesus Christ? 30, yeah. At least 30, 40, going on 40 years. God sees Lucy, when he puts a frame around here, he sees her totally different than before she met Jesus Christ. So the reason why I want to talk about this is because people don't know how God sees them. And if you don't know how God sees you, you are going to live in probably not a good place. You have to know how God sees you, because otherwise you're going to do life and it's just not going to be really good or fun. So we're going to talk about how God sees you. If you don't know how God sees you, you will actually say things about yourself that is wrong. If you don't know how God sees you, since you've received Jesus Christ in your life, you will actually say things and actually do things that are just not the way you're supposed to walk. They're just not fun ways to walk. So you have to know how God sees you, how he pictures you. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And one of the things is God sees you brand new. The moment those three people receive Jesus Christ into their life, God sees them as brand new people. So that's probably the most important thing. God sees you as brand new. Brand new. Now, I want to talk first about how God sees you before you accepted Jesus. I want to talk about before, and for me it's about 40 years ago. I want to talk about how God saw me before I accepted Jesus Christ. All right, so before. So turn over to Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. Now, you may be here and you've not received Jesus Christ into your life. Well, that's okay, because all of us before were in this condition. So I want to talk about what we were all like before we received Jesus Christ. And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Lord." So God saw all of us before we received Jesus Christ. It says, "We have all sinned." We have all sinned. So God sees us as, yeah, before we receive Jesus Christ. Now, Isaiah is a prophet in the Old Testament, and we're going to turn over to Isaiah 64. This is Isaiah's picture, perspective of how we were actually before Jesus, and really before Jesus even came to the earth. So Isaiah is going to have an Old Testament perspective, but I want to go over this because I see people thinking it's today. So Isaiah 64, verse 6, "But we are all like unclean things, and our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." You know, I read that and I think, man, that just doesn't sound good. Right? Doesn't sound good. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. So the reason why I want to share this, because there's a lot of people who have already started their walk with Jesus. They already received Jesus, not just last week, but for a long time. And they still think that's their life. I love it. I'm just an old worm. I'm filthy rags. I'm a bad person. Okay? So they're thinking they've already started their walk with Jesus. They've already received Jesus in their life, but they're still thinking in their head and actually walking in their life like that Old Testament before Jesus stuff. Okay? Now, before I asked the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, I was filthy rags. I was broken. I was lost. I was far from God. But the day I asked Jesus Christ into my life, all that stuff was gone. All that stuff was gone. I am not, no longer, Zippo, not filthy rags, right? And I'm not lost, okay? So all of this stuff, the way I am now, the way God sees me now, since I've asked Jesus into life, the way God pictures me now, will show up on the outside of me if I understand what happened on the inside of me. If you don't understand what happened on the inside, what God did, it's not going to show up. All right? And life is frustrating then, I'm telling you. All right, so we're going to go over five things. Number one, can you read that with me? God sees you dead. All right. Now, the moment you've received Jesus Christ into your life, God sees you dead. Now, that doesn't sound very nice, but let me explain. All right. God sees you dead. I really thought, gee, I should bring up this coffin with a dead guy in there, but, you know, it's probably not so good. Okay. So here's what God says. Before you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you were alive walking around the world, but you were not alive with God. You were alive walking and talking and eating and playing and doing whatever, but in God's eyes, you were not alive to Him. To Him, okay? Colossians 3:3. All right. For you died, means you're dead. For you died, and your life is hidden in Christ Jesus, all right? So what he means is one day you receive Jesus into your life and God sees that old person dead. The moment you receive Jesus Christ, the old way you used to live, that old person, God sees, he's got the big picture, he sees that person dead. So God sees you dead, all right? Matter of fact, you're no longer alive, you're gone, you're dead. Now, another way of explaining this is, let's say you have somebody that you know that dies and you're going to go to the funeral home, and the funeral home, they're going to have a viewing, and people come to the viewing because they want to pay their respects to the family that's living. They want to show that they honor the person, or at least you honor the family, okay? Now, you all know that when you look in that casket, that person is dead, okay? And he doesn't know, or she doesn't know what you're doing, doesn't even know you're there. They don't know what's going on. Why? They're dead. Okay, and the Bible says those that know the Lord, their body, they are absent from their body and they are presence in the Lord. Okay, so we want to be there, right? So they're dead. Now, according to Colossians we just read, that old person you used to be is dead. That's how God sees your old way of life. The moment, all the stuff that was before you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, God sees that, all that, dead. Isn't that wonderful? Because some of you, woohoo! Some of me, woohoo! I'm glad God sees that as dead. Aren't you? I am so glad. Listen, so God no longer sees that person. There, he sees them dead, okay? Number one, God sees you dead. But better than that, the next thing is God sees you now alive. I know we're going to get to the good part. After you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you're born again, you're saved, you're a Christian, you're a follower, okay? After that happens, now God will now see you alive. All right, everybody said, God sees me alive. Okay, so first God sees you dead, then next he sees you alive. And actually, they go hand in hand. Turn over to Galatians, would y'all? Turn over to Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives with me. So Paul is saying, I no longer live because that guy is dead. The old me no longer lives. That guy is dead, okay? Now, so did you see the word, I have been crucified? Jesus was crucified. A lot of people were crucified back then. When you were crucified, it meant you were going to be, yeah, that you weren't going up there for a picnic, guys. It meant you were going to die, all right? So this is saying here, that old guy is crucified, he's dead, and now a brand new person is alive. That guy's dead, but now a brand new person is alive. That's good, all right? So when that old man dies, then a new man becomes alive. You have to see yourself not like the old. You have to start seeing yourself the way God sees you. He now sees you from the moment you ask Jesus Christ into your life. He now sees you alive. He's tickled pink. You're alive. All right? Praise God. He sees you alive. And the next part is number three. He says, I see you new. All right. Can you turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17? This is a scripture, you need to just know it. You just know it. You just say this till you know it. So I want you all to read this with me, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It'll be maybe up there, maybe. Alex is our new guy in the sound booth. Alex, don't worry about it. They got Bibles and apps and cell phones, but no Facebook, okay? Stay with me. All right. Okay, let's say this together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, I don't know if you all were sweet little goody-goody two-shoes. Probably not. But when I receive Jesus Christ and someone pointed out this scripture, I would say this over and over and over and over. Because my past would try talking to me. D, you remember what you did? You remember how you acted? You remember what you did? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I would say this scripture. I am a new creature. Okay? Behold. I would say this over and over. So this is a good one. Now, so if you're a follower, if you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you are now a new creature. That's what it said. If you look up in the Greek, new creature over there, it says a brand new species. Brand new species. You know, it's so funny, science is saying, oh, we just discovered a brand new species. No, you just discovered. It's probably been there. But how about a caterpillar? A caterpillar starts spinning this cocoon, and then it, after so many days, it pops out as a brand new creature, species, a butterfly, brand new creature, all right? That's what happened to us. We become brand new, a new creature. Now, are you able to get up, J.B. Phillips? Looks okay. I got to read it. Oh, they got it. Just tell me. Okay, I look so dumb some days up here. Gosh. All right. I have this big spiral book. It's about yay big, and it takes different scriptures, and then they'll look up. This is before BibleGateway.com. So I've had this for a while, and I still like paper. I just like the taste of paper. Okay, but I'll get that up, and I looked up this scripture, 2 Corinthians, and J.B. Phillips says it by far my favorite. Okay, it says, "For if a man is in Christ." So how many of you have received Jesus Christ into your life? This scripture is about you. So if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished, gone, okay? And everything has become new and fresh. So what happens? I have become new. I'm a brand new species. I am tickled pink. I like new clothes. I like new shoes. I like new car. One day a brand new, no one ever drove it car. I like that idea. Okay. I'm on new used, but that's all right. Listen, until you understand that God has made you new, you're going to get fooled into thinking some dumb stuff. until you understand that God has made you brand new, you're going to get fooled into thinking, oh, I'm still that old person, especially if you have these same old feelings pop up that you had before you met Jesus, or if you have these same old tendencies that are just, unless you know that God made you a brand new creature, you're going to have a hard time when that stuff happens, okay? So everybody say, God says, I'm new. Look at your neighbor and say, ooh, spanking new. Yeah. Yeah, you are new. Okay. You are new. Now, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, I raise my hand. I would like him to be the Lord. I accept him. I am a new person. But, everybody say, but. Oh, that but. Okay, but I'm not talking about your mind is not brand new. Your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, they don't become brand new when you accept Jesus Christ into your life. Shucks, all right? And I'm not talking about the body. This didn't become size 2, my fantasy weight, when I asked Jesus Christ into my life. All right? Now, he's talking about this new species, this new person, this new creature that's really the inward you, the real you, and it's called the spirit, your spirit man, okay? This becomes brand new. Now, in 1 Thessalonians and in Hebrews, Paul describes all the parts of you, okay? He describes us as a three-part being. How many of you have heard that before? We're a three-part being. I am a spirit. I have a soul. My mind. Oh, Lord. My will. My emotions. And I live in this body. So everybody say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in this body. Okay. The new person you can't see. It's your spirit. This is brand new. That part you can't see, but it's new, because according to 2 Corinthians, I became new, all right? Now, what happens the moment you receive Lord Jesus Christ? My spirit's made brand new. I'm a new creature. I'm brand new. I'm spanking new. I'm spanking new. I'm spanking new. I love it. But up here in your mind, nothing changed. Now, Andrew Womack said this. He says, if you were dumb before you met Jesus, you will be dumb after you met Jesus. I was like, Andrew, you could have been nicer, but I like that, all right? Why? Because this didn't change. This brain, this my mind, my emotions didn't change. And now, if you were, your body didn't change. The moment you became a new creature, your body did not change. If you were fat, the moment you met Jesus Christ, you did not become Mr. America, Mr. Universe, I'm sorry to say. Why? Because your mind and your body does not change. What changed, everybody? Spirit. Okay. Now, if you don't do anything, well, let me back up. The problem, we actually have a problem. We have a problem. Not the problem with the spirit. The spirit's brand new. I love it. It's new. That old thing's dead. I am brand new. But if you don't do anything with your mind and your body, you're going to have some problems. Anybody had some problems? The rest of the story. Okay, you're going to have some problems. And the Bible says we need to work on the area of our mind. And the Bible calls that renewing your mind. And that means putting in God's word into my mind. Putting this into my mind. All right? I'm putting it into mine. Now, if you keep living, if you don't put the word of God into your mind, you're going to keep living the same way you did before you received Jesus. If you don't put God's word, okay, renew your mind, you will keep living the same way you did before. And actually, you just kind of frustrate yourself because you'll find days you go, I can't believe I still did that. Oh, raspberries. Okay. And the reason being is I have not renewed my mind. I have not renewed my mind. Now, you've all heard the expression, garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. Does anybody know, or anybody have an old-fashioned hand grinder? I do. Then I also got an electric one. Okay? I got an electric one. So we have deer meat. We make all sorts of things, okay? But if you've not renewed your mind, putting God's word in to your mind, it's like garbage in, garbage out. You can crank that baby and it's just going to keep spitting out garbage, all right? Or you can press the button, it's going to be garbage. So you have to renew your mind. And the Bible says that word to renew also means to renovate. Anybody done some renovations on your house? Anybody wanting to do some renovations on your house? Anybody remember Bob Vila? This old house. Love that show. I learned how to frame a door and got to tell Jack, you're doing it wrong. You need, because I watched Bob Vila and I was right. Okay. So renewing means to renovate something that's old. So, yeah, my spirit was new, is new, it's new, it's new. I'm a new species. I'm a new butterfly. But this brain of mine is still old, and I have to renovate it. And the only way you're going to renovate it is through the Word of God. The only way you're going to renovate it is to find out what God says about you since you've asked Jesus Christ into your life. You have to find that out, and you have to renovate it. Now, why should I renovate? Because I'm new, and I don't want to be thinking and acting the way I did before. You don't want me to be thinking and acting the way I did before. All right? So we need to renovate. 2 Corinthians says we're new. We're a new species. So if I'm new, I probably need to learn how a new species lives. If I'm a new person, I probably need to learn how they act because I'm new. Somebody, the Lord Jesus Christ put his life in me. I'm brand new and I should learn and how to act and live that way. All right. Now, the only way it's going to happen, guys, is you're going to have to take your mind and you're going to have to crack open your Bible and you're going to have to see what God says about you now. All right, and that's called renewing your mind. Now, if you don't control your mind or your body, it will control you. Anybody found out? It's like two against one. Yes, this is spirits alive, but there's my mind and my body, and if I don't take control, it will control me. All right? It will control you. And there's a lot of people that have received Jesus Christ, but they're still talking like the way they were before. There's a lot of Christians that are still acting like the way they were before. And you know what they have to do? You have to find out what God says about you. The new you. I like the new you. But if you don't know what the new you is, you're going to not be acting like that. Okay. So, let me think. How can I do this? All right. Romans 8. I'm just going to say, the Bible talks about your mind. And your mind that is not renewed to the way God sees you, the Bible says your mind is enmity towards God. And that simply means in the Greek, your mind actually hates God. The mind that's not renewed to the way God says you are, says that mind hates God. Pastor D, I don't hate God. I love God. Oh my gosh, I love Jesus. No, okay. Well, what he really means, more so, the mind, if your mind is not renewed the way God says you are and how your life is, your mind is actually opposed to God. Oh, but I love Jesus. No, sorry. Your mind that you don't renew with what God says you are now and what he's done for your life now, you actually oppose God until you renew your mind. All right. So you have to renew your mind. Number two thing you have to do is you have to take control of your body. Everybody say body. You all have a body. You live in a body. Now, if you don't take control of your body, it will control you. What do you mean, Pastor D? I set the alarm for 6:45. 6:45, the alarm goes off, and I go, smack! All right? What just took control? Your body took control. I'm tired. All right? Your body, I'm hungry. Let's get a pizza. And you eat the whole thing. Your body just took control. An old friend of mine used to say, you grazing long, girl. You are grazing long when you need to. Don't let your body do that, okay? How about this? I have had a hard day at the office, or I've put the kids to bed. I've had a long day with these kids. I just need to relax. That's your body. And you know, your body sits down to your computer or whatever for 6 hours. I think your body took control. Anybody's body take control? Okay. Your body will do things you wish you never had done. Your body will lead you places you don't want to go. So you have to take control of your body. You have to say no to it. Now, how do you do that? Again, you get your nose into the Word of God. You get your mind renewed. You get your mind renewed to what God says. And then when your body says, rah, 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 and you're going to go, no, I'm not doing that. And the only way you're going to say no is if you know what God says, the life you're supposed to live, because you're a new creature. Everybody say body. All right, so you start taking the Word of God, you renew your mind, and then you can tell your body, no, knock it off. Close the refrigerator, you big blimp, okay? All right. Jerl, you don't, where's Jerl? She's not here today. Man, you don't help my life. I want to say, no, don't bring that stuff here. So I broke down and had one of those big brownies on Friday. Oh, Lord. Okay. So you need to take the Word of God, renew your mind. And the Bible calls that crucifying your flesh. Okay, flesh, your body. That's what the Bible calls it. You know, so what's that crucified thing? Dead. Okay, the Bible calls that crucifying your flesh. Crucifying your flesh. And that means you have to put something else in your mind so you can say no. We're going to crucify our flesh. Now, again, you all understand, I am a new creature. Okay, on the inside that you can't see, there's a new spirit. But this new person, my mind's not new, and my body's not new. And you have to get into the Word of God. Now, listen, there's some great self-help books you can read. And I found a lot of them are Bible principles. But I really think that might be a long, slow journey. But you get yourself into the Word of God, and we've got some great books. Where's Kathy? We got some great stuff in the bookstore that'll help you on your new life. You got a new life. All right. All right, let's jump to number four, because I'm just doing here. Okay, number four, what does it say? God sees you as righteous. Okay, I'm switching Bibles here. God sees you as righteous. Open up to Romans 3. Open up to Romans 3. God sees you as righteous. Okay, righteous. I must have heard that word for 3 years and didn't know what the heck they were talking about. And then finally, I started digging and I read some good materials. Righteous means I am right with God. Righteous means I've been made right with God. Okay, before I was not. I was a sinner. Right? Before I received Jesus Christ, I was a sinner, I was separated, I was dead. But when I received, the moment I received Jesus Christ, I was made right with God. Or I have right standing. I was made righteous with God. So let's look over at Romans 3. I'm going to read this. I know it's a little long, but you guys love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Pastor D just read. It's so, so wonderful. All right. Okay. I'm going to start at verse 20. I'm reading out of the New Living, all right? No one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing the commands. For the more we know God's law, the clearer it is we become what we are. We aren't obeying it. It becomes clearer that we become that we are not obeying it. Verse 21, but now God has shown us differently, a different way of being right in his sight, not by obeying the law, but by the way promised in the scriptures long ago. Verse 22, we are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. So last week we had three people trust in Jesus to take away their sins, and that moment they were made right or righteous, right? Okay, isn't that wonderful? And we all can be saved in the same way, no matter who we are or what we've done. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glorious standard, yet now God, in his gracious kindness, declares us not guilty. He has done this through Jesus Christ, who has freed us by taking our sins. For God sent Jesus to take our punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. This is the best part. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus' shed blood sanctifying his life for us. All right. Okay, so everybody say, I am made right. Okay. You are made right with God. You can go into his presence anytime you want. You have been made righteous with God the moment you ask Jesus Christ into your life. All right? Isn't that wonderful? Now, the wonderful thing is you didn't have to do anything. You couldn't be good enough or bad enough. Jesus did everything, right? Jesus did everything. Jesus became sin, and he took his life. He gave his life for us so that we were made right with God. Now, if you don't understand that you are now made right with God, you're going to say dumb things out of your mouth. You're going to act differently. All right, so you need to know that God has made you right. All right, and the greatest thing about that is Jesus did, his shed blood, what he did made me right. I didn't have to climb that ladder that we had last week. Jesus Christ, because he died and I believed it and I received him as my Lord and Savior, I am now made righteous with God. I am now made right with God. I am now made right with God. And it even gets better. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord did for us. So the moment you receive Jesus Christ, you were made right and you have peace with God. I was not always at peace with God. Better yet, I was on the wrong side of the track. But the moment I asked Jesus Christ into my life, I had peace with God. I wasn't afraid. I had peace. Matter of fact, he made peace with me, and also he also put peace into me. Angie was here. Last week we had our grow group, and I made them. Because Pastor D said, okay, I want you to go around and everybody tell me the story of when you met Jesus Christ. Now, back in the day, we say, tell me your testimony. But really, your testimony is your story. So we went around and everybody told their story. And I think it was Angie, you said, immediately after you met Jesus Christ, different. Actually, a peace came into her life. She knew at that moment, life was different. And I was thinking about that. That was the peace of God that you got. That was the peace of God. So the moment you receive Jesus Christ, you are made righteous, and peace comes into your life. Peace that I can go talk to my Heavenly Father. Peace that I am not looking at all this mumbo-jumbo in life. I have peace, and I am going to walk in peace. Amen. All right, so 2 Corinthians. Would you turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. One more scripture about we are been made right. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for me. God made Jesus for me. God made Jesus to be sin for me. All right, so that we could be made right through Jesus Christ. So again, the day that you receive Jesus Christ, you are made righteous. You are made right with God. And it's not someday I'm going to be made right with God. The moment you ask Jesus Christ into your life is the moment you became right. And it's not like, well, someday I'll get good. Someday I'll stop cussing and then I'll be okay with God. No, has nothing to do with your cussing. Though I would like you to clean up your mouth. All right? But the moment you received Jesus Christ, you were made right with God. Not based on anything that you do. It's everything that Jesus did. Everything that Jesus did. Hey, hallelujah. Okay, let's do number 5. What's that one say? God sees you forgiven. Now, remember what we're doing. We are looking at how God pictures you. We are looking through this frame and how God pictures you now that you've received Jesus. God sees me dead. God sees me alive. God sees me new. God sees me righteous. All right. And we're not just looking at how God sees you, but now we're also looking at how God actually made you. God actually made you new. God actually made you righteous. All right. That we're looking at how God actually made you. All right, and the last one, God sees you forgiven. Personally, in my life, I think it was one of the most important things I had to redo my brain with. God saw me forgiven. God sees me forgiven. Everybody say that. God sees me forgiven. God sees you forgiven of all your past, all the things right now, and all your future. God sees me forgiven. God sees me forgiven. Open up to 1 John 2. Open up to 1 John 2. Last scripture. Here we go. God sees me forgiven. God sees me forgiven. God sees me forgiven. Okay. 1 John 2:12. I am writing to you who are children of God. Any children of God here today? So who's writing to you? Oh, man, someone wrote you a letter. Don't you love when you get a real letter in the mail? Not a bill. I love it. Okay. So God says, so 1 John 2:12. I am writing to you who are children of God because your sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. All right. So on the day I received Jesus Christ, light bulbs went off really 2 seconds before I realized I needed a Savior. I realized I finally, you know, I grew up in church for 20 some years, and I never realized I needed a Savior. Either dumb D or something, okay? The connection was never there. But on 20 years ago, oh, excuse me, yeah, I was 20. That was longer than that. I was 20, it was like 40 years ago, I realized I needed a Savior. And I realized I needed a Savior that was going to forgive me. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus came and I accepted him. I received him. I received him. I received a Savior and I received forgiveness. Whew, that was wonderful. Now, after you receive Jesus, everybody's going to mess up. Anybody mess up before you walked into this place today? Anybody sin before you even got out of the parking lot, through the parking lot today? Okay. I told somebody, I said, Jack and I would have our best fights on Market Street before we would come and preach, you know? So it's like, we sin. Everybody's going to sin even after you ask Jesus Christ into your life. Amazing. No, it's sad, but this is what it's true. We make mistakes. We muff up. We miss the mark. We sin. So after you've received Jesus Christ, I'm probably going to sin. I'm hoping I get through the whole day and I don't. Okay, but if I do, say, Pastor D, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to go to my Heavenly Father and I'm going to go, Heavenly Father, I love you. Man, I really blew it. Did you see what I did? He goes, yeah, I know everything. And I said, you know, I'm really sorry. And I ask you to forgive me according to your word, that the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all unrighteousness, sin, muff-ups, mistakes, missing the mark. And I receive, Jesus, what you've done for me. I'm forgiven. Amen. That's 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 is written to Christians for the morning after. The after you meet Jesus, because you are going to make mistakes. You're going to sin. Now, some people say, well, you know, you don't have to confess it. You know what? I made my kids confess when they were naughty and they punched somebody or they did, you know, little kids things, because they needed to say it. And actually, when I say, Father God, I've messed up, I've sinned, it sort of brings all this light that I'm recognizing I messed up, okay? So I believe, and this scripture is there for the benefit of us. You know, God, we already know God has forgiven us, but it's for the benefit of us. So I go, Father God, okay, I've messed up. I'm sorry, and I receive the forgiveness of sins. I accept it, and I'm forgiven in Jesus' name, okay? It's good. It's good to confess your sins. It'll do you good. You know what it does also, just as off course here, but it's on course. It keeps you from getting a hard heart. Because if you keep repeatedly doing something and you don't come to the attention, oh, gosh, I sinned. Father God, I sinned. I am so sorry. I thank you. I receive the forgiveness of sin. Okay, if you don't do that and you keep doing that same area, same thing, you get a hard heart. You get a hard heart, okay? So it's good to confess your sin. The Bible talks about confessing your sin one to another, but I'm not going to talk about that. So what happens if you say, Pastor D, I've done so many things wrong? 1 John 1:9, go to God. Father, Heavenly Father, I just come to you. You're my dad. And, you know, I've done so many things wrong. And he's going, yeah, I know. But I am confessing that I have sinned. I've missed the mark. I've done things wrong. I've done this thing wrong. But I am going to take what Jesus has already done for me. I'm forgiven. And tomorrow, or the next second, rather, I'm going to try to do better. Okay? Amen. So everybody say, I'm forgiven. Man, I'm forgiven. So 1 John 2:12 says we're forgiven. God sees you forgiven. God only sees you forgiven. The moment you accept Jesus Christ, he only sees you forgiven. Do you see yourself forgiven? And this is why I believe this is one of the most important things. Let's say, oh, dang it. The babies were up all night. I didn't get enough sleep. Then I got mad at my kids, and then I kicked the dog. I don't know. I don't have a dog. Okay. All right. And then I start feeling bad about myself, and then I start beating myself up. Oh, my gosh, I'm such a terrible Christian. All right? You need to know God sees you forgiven, and you need to say, I'm sorry for kicking the dog, okay? Don't do that. My dog lovers over there, they get on me. Okay. I love animals. I don't want one. Don't leave one at my house. Matter of fact, don't bring it to my house. Because every time someone brings one to my house, they pee on my floor. Uh-huh. And Resolve carpet cleaner works really good. But, okay, I love animals. Just want to clarify that. Okay? But clarify that. Praise the Lord. Okay, Pastor D, I dare you to get back on track. Well, I'll try. All right, so Jesus sees me as dead, or the Father God sees me dead, the Father God sees me alive, the Father God sees me new, righteous, and forgiven. Do you see yourself dead? Do you see yourself new? Do you see yourself alive? Do you see yourself made right with God? Do you see yourself forgiven? Then you will live a glorious life. You will live a victorious life. You will not live depressed. And people who are depressed, they don't know who God is or what God's done. They are looking at that old picture. Okay? So if you're having one of those moments, that means it's time to pull back. Yes, this is new, but pull back and get this thing thinking and knowing and saying and doing what God says about you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, Pastor D, how do you finish this? I don't know. Everybody, let's just close our eyes for a second. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that sets us free. Father, I sense that people's lives have been set free today, this day, because of your word. Because of your word, they see who they really are. They see how you see them, and they believe what you see them as and how you've made them and how you talk about them. Father, I thank you that your word sets us free. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you for your word that tells us that we have a great, glorious, abundant life, because that's how, what you've made us, and that's how you see us. I thank you. If there's anybody here, you say, Pastor D, I have never received. You've been talking all day. What happens after you receive Jesus? What happens when you receive Jesus? Well, I've never received the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ, I mean 100% committed to him, I want to tell you, today's a good day. Today's a great day to ask him into your life, because you will never be more different. You will be made brand new. So if you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, I would like to receive Jesus into my life. I want to be made new, and I want to be different, and I want to be alive and new and righteous and forgiven. Would you raise your hand? I would love to pray with you. Is there anybody here? Praise God. Is anybody here? You've never received Jesus Christ, and you would like to receive him and make him the Lord of your life. Praise God. Well, everybody look up. Say hi to the family. Hey, family. You're the family. You're the family. Amen. And it is good to be the family of God. And it is even better to start walking that way. So how many of you have got some light on some areas that you just sort of forgot about? Got some light back on some areas you need to walk in? Well, I did, preparing. So, all right, if you stand up, I'm going to pray over you and let you out of this place. Next Sunday's Communion Fellowship, please come and stay.